5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast with your host, Stephen Martinez, aka Mega Man. This is episode 291 of Conspiracy Talks number 3. And the subject for this episode, which I will be talking about, is the Harbor Area. The first topic for this episode, you ready for this? Back in 2020, we had some weird weathers. In the mid of January, there were some weird stuff going around in the Pacific Oceans. And there's been rumors, there's been sightings that since the climate change is getting kind of all weird at that time and even till now, you're going to be seeing a lot of weird things coming up. And there is a sighting of the Megalodon. This is a prehistoric shark. It's probably about 50 to 60 foot shark. And you've probably seen it in movies. You hear stories. But for some kind of reason, guys and ladies, there's been a lot of sightings around the Pacific Oceans. Going to San Francisco, to the Harbor Area, to Orange County, to San Diego, to Hawaii. Even over like in the world, like in South Africa, Australia, the Atlantic. But over here in the Harbor Area, there's been rumors of, sightings of people seeing the Megalodon shark. There's been some people who, you know, have boats and they go out and get fish, or they go swim to Catalina, or they go to other places. But, there were sightings, and it's something where when you see the water changing, and usually, the water's warm or cold, it just really depends. But I don't know about this one. I mean, a Megalodon, I mean, now that we have technology up in the sky, planes, sonar and all, I mean, there is people who that had boats that had sonar, and they saw like, yo, that looks like a big fucking shark. And to me, I'm more like, I'm like 50-50. But when you hear rumors of, all these legendary stories in Mexico called the Black Demon, and even over there, I think in World War II, the U-boat, they took a picture, and it was in South Africa, and when they took a picture, they saw the U-boat, and right next to it was a Megalodon shark, and they did the measurements, and you see in sonars, and you also see up in the, on satellite, it's like, well, what's up with all this? And there was a story that this guy, he put up two trackers on a great white shark. For some kind of reason, those two sharks, they got ate up. And because of those two sharks, sightings, rumors were saying that the Megalodon ate those two great white sharks. And the device that those two great white sharks had, they saw like, that doesn't make sense. It pretty much in a way was really going fast. And I was like, that's kind of weird of a shark going really, really that fast. And after that, that was it. You hear stories of a lot of Megalodon sightings in the Mariana Trenches. And to me, I feel like when you hear stories of this in the Mariana Trenches, you have to know that there was a sunken continent called the Lost Mu. It was an advanced civilization that, the weather changed and the whole continent of Mu sunk to the ground. I mean, you had Eastern Island, you had Tonga, you had Fiji, you had Tahiti, you had Hawaii, then the list goes on and on of other cities. But when, for some kind of reason, when that advanced civilization sunk to the ground, that's when a lot of rumors were saying that, you know, you see a lot of sightings of Megalodons over there. But for some kind of reason, it's always around South Africa. It's always around Australia, but it's always around the, what do you call, the Shark Bermuda Triangle, which is connected to, like, you know, to the to Malibu, going up to Frisco, Channel Island. There's a, just a lot of weird things. And there is some people who went scuba diving in Australia, then they found all these shark teeth and everything. Like, man, who ate this shark? And there was a rumor that they found a baby shark, and going by its fins, it was a baby Megalodon. And it makes me think and wonder, if you hear all these sightings in the Pacific Ocean, you hear all these sightings in Mexico, you hear all these sightings in Africa, the Indian Ocean, they're going to go where the water is perfect for them. And in my opinion, I feel that there's not just one Megalodon. I think there's four of them. Four Megalodons in this whole world. But who knows? There's maybe about, I think we only discovered about maybe 20% or maybe 15% of the ocean. And there's just a lot of species. There's a lot of things where NASA was always discovering the ocean. And for some kind of reason, they were like, fuck all this shit. We're out of here. We're not going to discover none of this ocean, because they found stuff where we got to get out of this fucking planet. And you see videos and it's like, does it look like a Megalodon? But there's been a lot of videos, like, I don't know. I mean, you heard stories in South Africa. I mean, they, and that in Hawaii too, just, they show like a whale just like bit in half. Even in South Africa, there was a lady who was in by the beach in South Africa. I think it was over there by Cape Town. And there's people swimming. And for some kind of reason, she, this lady who was a lifeguard, just watching everyone, like, hey, don't go in the water. It's very shark infested over there in South Africa. And saw this humongous shark where she says, like, yo, this has to be Megalodon. But there is another shark, probably like, not, maybe it's like how a great white shark is. This shark is like in the middle. Then you have a humongous Megalodon shark. I think it was a 30 or 40 foot one. But this shark, they called it the legendary, the submarine. The reason why they call it the submarine is because this shark can stay still and watch the prey and just take off. It can hold its breath. I mean, you hear stories of the submarine shark is kind of maybe the little brother to Megalodon, and it has like a scar. There was a person who tried to defend from that type of submarine shark, and I think it was a person from South Africa, and he harpooned it in the face of that shark, and it left a big scar. And I'm going to post this up later this week. And but do I believe what people say? You can just tell. And the people, the way how, if you're a fisherman, you go to the, you know, go fishing and all, you're going to see some stuff. But it's just something where you hardly hear stories like this in the harbor area. If you would see up in the sky in the plane, you would see like, oh shit. But a lot of this stuff, man, you hear all these sightings, you hear all this stuff, you know, in the night. I kind of believe it. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of things coming out. I kind of believe the legend of Megalodon. And you got to remember this, guys and ladies, if they're promoting a lot of this stuff on the movies and stuff or on the news, then you know it's true. Because, you know, the Megalodon has been extinct for millions and millions of years. But who knows? But with my opinion, I would have to say I would have to say I'm kind of more of a believer. You just hear a lot of stories, but the Megalodon in the harbor area around January of 2020, there was like a couple sightings. I kind of believe it because those people, they were really scared. I think after that, they didn't want to go in the ocean to go work ever again. And I think they quit their jobs and they went to go work in other whatever they did, wanted to do. And I think they, I can't say the two people's names because I asked them, can I mention your name? Said, no, that's okay. And there's a lot of the times where you see pictures, it's like, oh, that kind of looks like Megalodon. And the videos, I'm just like, oh, that's a big ass, like a fucking, like a tail fin. That's a big fin. So I kind of believe it's out there. I mean, who knows? But there's one thing about me. When you saw that movie Jaws, you were like, fuck this shit. So that right there, that's a legendary story that no one really talks about. But I believe, like, you know, there's sightings of Megalodon over the world. But in the Pacific Ocean, in the harbor area, oh, yeah, there's a lot of weird things in the oceans that, you know, we don't know about. The next topic I want to talk about is the curse of the Vincent Thomas Bridge. I remember back then my dad used to work the shipyards and he would fix, you know, Navy ships. And he would tell me stories. I mean, even with the longshoremen people, you would hear stories of people jumping off, protest for some kind of reason. Maybe they just want attention. My opinion, guys and ladies, I feel like that bridge is cursed. If you're seeing so many people jumping off to their deaths, and like you hear stories of like the Pasadena Bridge, you know, people jumping off, that has to be something where it's just a bad energy. And I remember when my mom and I, we went to go pick up my dad. And at back then, you would have to pay a toll. And if this is like back in the 80s, you would have to pay a toll to go through the Vincent Thomas Bridge. And I remember my mom and my dad had a red Buick. And my mom was driving to go pick up my dad. And for some kind of reason, my mom almost got into a car accident because the guy left his car. There's if you're going straight to San Pedro or you're going back to Long Beach, there's going to be two lanes. The person just parked his car, went up the fence, and jumped off. That was the first time ever when I was little to see, like, why did he do that for? And my dad would tell me stories when he was working the shipyards. They would be like, hey, let's see who's a man. You know, let's see who's a fucking, like, let's see who's a big pussy or a chicken. Let's play like chicken where three or four people would climb the green fence because it was pretty high. And when they did, they would climb over the fence and you're like, oh shit, let's see who has balls. Like, you would kind of like let go your fence, let go of the fence and grab it again. And sometimes in a way you would get peer pressured, and one of them or someone who was like, oh shit, your fingers, you got slipped and you fall. And there were people who lost their lives. Either they committed suicide or they played chicken. But the water, I mean, it's like cement. You're gonna die. And I just feel, I hear stories of, why do people do this for? And we're going to get to it later, but I feel there is very, very negative energy in the harbor area. And no one talks about that because there's Indian burial grounds. So the energy is like, there's so much people that died that we don't even know if there's Indian burial grounds and they just put buildings over it. But for some kind of reason, it all lures them to the Vincent Thomas Bridge and they die. The biggest, I was shocked about this one. Tony Scott. Tony Scott is, he's a director. His brother's Ripley Scott, who did the movie Gladiator, Well, Tony Scott, he was a famous director. I mean, really famous director. He did a movie, directed the movie with Enemy of the State with Will Smith and I think Gene Hackman. He did the original movie Top Gun with Tom Cruise. One of my favorite movies that he did, which I love with Tom Cruise, was Days of Thunder. And this happened on August 19th of 2012. He just parked his car right in the middle of the bridge and just jumped off. There was rumors that say maybe there was two people that threw him over. There was people who videotaped it. It was on YouTube. The weird thing, you know, there was a note. It was kind of like, it kind of looked kind of weird. So there was an investigation for like a month or two to see, you know, but it was actually, they closed the case. It was he committed suicide because he was battling through depression and anxiety because Tony Scott found out that he had cancer. And it was pretty sad, and it hurt my heart. I mean, it's crazy. But, and because of that, and always back then, they would have like a hotline. If you know anyone that's going to commit suicide, please call this number, because the cops, the ambulance, will go to the Vincent Thomas Bridge right away, and they would shut it down. And there was times, you know, people would stay there for like, you know, 3 or 4 days, you know, looking for attention, or they lost their job, or depressed, or their, you know, their wife left them. And you would have to be there because it's a serious thing, and it sucks. It sucks when people take their lives. And it's just, when you pass that bridge in the daytime, it's cool, but it's creepy, but it's scary. But at night, you just don't know these days, because they had to change the Vincent Thomas Bridge and put more lights, because when you're driving at night to the bridge, they put more lights to see, because sometimes in a way, the cars, they would leave their cars there. And I think what I heard, that they put like cameras or detectors of like, hey, there's a person who just parked his car and he just left it there. And they would be, the cops around that area, I think in San Pedro, they would be notified right away, and they would go investigate, and they would just block it. They would block the bridge because we don't know. There's a lot of weird things. But when you hear the stories of the longshoremen people, they would say like, you know, people who worked at longshoremen, they would be working in the middle of the night, and they would hear like, man, it sounds like a watermelon just being splatted on the ground. But that was a person who committed suicide and jumped off. I bet you there's so many stories, and I know there's going to be a lot of people who work in longshoremen here in this episode. You guys got stories. There's a lot of creepy stories, but if you know anyone who is battling through depression, anxieties, you know, feeling kind of suicidal, be there for them, because I just hate to see people just take their lives, and it just sucks, you know, they're leaving behind their wife, their families, their mom and dad, their kids. But I'm telling you, that bridge is cursed. There's bad energy, really, really bad energy, which, I will get into it later. Or we could just talk about it right now. San Pedro, the harbor area, Wilmington, Long Beach and all, there has been a lot of Spaniards, been a lot of wars. But there's a lot of Indian burial grounds, and it's something where, for some kind of reason, when I was working at a grocery store up in San Pedro, I could just tell the city, the area is very negative, even in Wilmington and Long Beach. But I don't know what, it's just for some kind of reason. I hate to talk bad about San Pedro. I love you guys. I was just there earlier to go get Busy Bee sandwich. I had a roast beef. But I just did not know that there's Indian burial grounds, and they put buildings on top of it. I want to say this. I feel that there's some Indian burial grounds at Peck Park. there's on Western, there's a grocery store. I'm not going to mention the grocery store's name because I don't work there no more. You can say Sprouts, but McDonald's, you know, around that area. It's just some weird things. You see dark entities. You just see weird things. And I see for myself, there's people possessed. And we're not talking about the Walking Dead who are tweakers and shit. We're talking about real possessed people because we don't know. We just really don't know. But when you have this bad negative energy for some kind of reason, and I'm going to speak for me, it would gravitate towards me and I would be all rage, all angry and stuff. But when I would get off work and I would go home, for some kind of reason, I would start throwing up. I would start throwing up. And I don't know what, but it would go away. I don't know, but I just feel like, is this, I wish I could say more about this, but is this something where you have to respect the dead? Let them be at peace, you know? I know people like to go to the haunted house and all, but who knows what type of places or history happened back then, or houses, or they left in bad terms where there's just so much negative. We don't know. And I've been doing some research and was, you know, San Pedro, who owned most of the land, you know, he was the Spaniard. He was slaughtering a lot of Indians who lived over there. And they cursed that place. And I believe there's a lot of things where they're unrested. You see a lot of dark entities. You see a lot of portals. I heard stories about there's portals in San Pedro. And for some kind of reason, there's just negative energy where sacrifice, devil worship, you know, playing with black magic and all. And you guys and ladies, when you hear this episode, do your own research. Research history. History and history and history. We can research so much, but please, when you do research, you know, be careful. Because you can go to a fast food place or some nice apartments, condominiums, because you see there's a lot of gentrification. We just don't know what's under there. And everyone, you got to be careful because there's a lot of entities. There's a lot of dark spirits. And it's just something where, hey, just again, let them rest. But just be careful, guys and ladies, if you're around the Harbor area for some kind of reason. It's evil. It's evil. I love my area. I love Harbor area. Heart of the Harbor area, Wilmington, California, Weedmas. But for some kind of reason, focus on the Banny Mansion House. There's been a lot of weird things over there at the same time as San Pedro. Torrance going that way, a little bit of Long Beach, but and also with Catalina. So again, guys and ladies, just respect the dead. Just be careful. I know some people say, oh, you should do sage, you should do this. To be honest, I wouldn't want to do none of that stuff because you don't know what you're opening. You don't know what's gonna come at you. So just again, and I'll say it one last time, just please just respect the dead. That's all I'm gonna say. And I want to say something as well. I don't know if you know this, but there is a new bridge called the Gerald Desmond Bridge. It's a new Long Beach bridge that there used to be a green bridge. They took it down and they put the new Long Beach Bridge because they wanted to build a bike path and, you know, want to go over the shipyards and everything and connect it, you know, to a lot of the ports and longshoremen and connect it to the Vincent Thomas Bridge. But I've been noticing a lot of weird things on that bridge. Now, this one is way scarier than the Vincent Thomas Bridge because there are something which I didn't know about that that old green bridge that was taken down, you're seeing more suicides. When the COVIDs happened in 2020, and, you know, I don't want to mention, but we might go into another lockdown, you know, this year. But for those 3 years, a lot of people were committing suicide. When I was working overnight from 8 p.m. to 9 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 6:30 or from 12 a.m. to 9, I would leave and there would be so many people killed from drunk driving, car crashes, a lot of people just jumping off to their deaths because they would leave their cars. And the thing is about this new Long Beach Bridge, it's beautiful at night and all, but they need to make higher fences. They need to put a suicide prevention if you know someone's going to commit suicide. And the weird thing about it is some news were talking about it, but not really. But when I would go to work and take that bridge, you would just see weird things. You know, people, you know, chilling there, looking at the scenery and this. And the next day, when I would get off work going back, there would be a coroner. There would be a police coroner, like a forensic, that a person died. They would have to check the car. People being splattered left and right, whoever works in that certain area where the Long Beach Bridge is at, the new one, and you have a lot of longshoremen there, you're probably seeing people just dying to their deaths or whatever, but they would just leave their cars there. And the weird thing about that bridge as well, you're seeing apparitions. You're seeing like paranormal weird stuff. You would see people who are dressed up in the 1800s, 1900s, and there is weird stuff going around that you would see people walking, riding their bikes like it was 1920. There was times like from 2 to maybe 4 a.m. That's like kind of like more like the witching hour. They would see like old school cars driving by and everything. I'm going to be honest, I was a little freaked out when I was going to work one time. There was a dark entity that was in the back seat of my car. I almost got into a car wreck because I was flipped out and my car stopped because my battery died. Because I feel like whatever was back there was wanted to show itself. And it just sucked all the energy of my phone. My phone was at 100. It was at 1%. My battery died. I had to call in work. And I got to get a jump. It's like, hey, everything's all good. When I saw that dark entity with those red eyes, I freaked out. I freaked out. And because of that, and I heard so many stories of people getting into car crashes, you know, because they're seeing things in the middle of the road. I wouldn't go there at night. And I would take the other street going around. Like I would take Anaheim Street, like you're going to the back road, going all the way straight up and to Anaheim, like you're passing the 110 freeway and you're going all the way around like you're going to hit Gaffey. And I would go to work because I'm not going to take that chance of me driving at night knowing the fact like there's drunk drivers, there's people getting killed from car accidents, you're seeing apparitions, you're seeing people commit suicide. I'm just telling you again, there is bad fucking energy. And is this something where I feel like now it's like it just hurts because we don't know what these people are going through, or we don't know if we're seeing someone that passed away, lost a loved one, and you're just stuck there. You can't go into the light. You're stuck in here. You're stuck on your earth. You can't go to hell. You can't go to heaven. You're just stuck. And that's why I feel you see a lot of weird things. Like, it's just scary, guys. Like, I mean, man, I don't know what to say. It just, sometimes I get kind of speechless, guys and ladies, because it brings a lot of flashbacks that I don't want to mention. And there's stuff that I will keep to myself that I did saw. But the bridge is beautiful, but I think in a way you got to bless that bridge and you have to put higher fences or anything because, you know, it's a good attraction. You know, you want to have a good picture for your Instagram, but who knows if that person is going to take a good picture or that person is going to commit suicide or something where it's telling them, hey, jump off. But I'm telling you, it's something else, all right? It's something else. And I want to get into a little deep conversation. Have you heard of this story? Back in February 23rd, 1942, the Battle of L.A. Fort MacArthur, which I was there earlier today at Friendship Park, the United States Army, the military, was shooting at the sky because, you know, there was a lot of Japanese planes spying. There was Japanese balloons. They were seeing weird things, but they were shooting something like, we don't know what it is. And could have been a UFO. But there's a lot of weird things around Catalina Island. And I was watching an episode with Jeremy Corbell, where he was a guest on Joe Rogan. And he was talking about, you know, there's been a lot of UFO sightings around Catalina Island. UFOs flying up in the air. But the weird thing about it is USO. Now, people are telling me, what is a USO, Mega Man? It's called an unidentified submerged object. And there's UFOs that I strongly feel that there's certain UFO underwater bases in the Pacific Ocean or around the area. Why is it that when there's UFO bases underwater, they're always next to a military, naval, Air Force base in the harbor area, San Diego, Malibu, Point Doom? You know, when I showed the pictures earlier, people were like, what? I said, yeah, Point Doom, the Tic Tac. You know, people, the story where Joe Rogan invited Jeremy Corbell, but I think he invited Commander Favor, who saw the Tic Tacs. But his military friend told Commander Favor, I got a crazy story to tell you. Hold on, let me drink my beer. This is a good story. We will always hear stories of, you know, UFOs in the skies, but no one really talks about the stories underwater. And this is when I heard, they're like, what? Commander Faber told a story that his friend told him that think they were trying to pick up something underwater and like a torpedo or a missile. They're doing some stuff. And his friend was telling him like, hey, pull me up. Like, why? Like, there's something trying to grab the torpedo and me. And it's like, huh? And it tried to take it underwater. It was deep. It was like, it was all dark under the water. And they try to pull him down. You hear stories of UFO bases underwater, and I posted this. I feel there's certain UFOs that maybe come together, refuel, they're kind of monitoring certain things, or maybe there's UFOs that their gas is like water that goes up. I heard locals would say, we would see weird things underwater with like light beams underwater, and they would just fly up. Excuse me. The locals would see a lot of things. People were saying, is there a UFO base under San Pedro? You have a Navy, you have an Air Force, you know, around that area in San Pedro, but it's just something you want to believe. You want to believe. And when Jeremy Corbell was on Joe Rogan and he was, and the Admiral was telling him like, hey, I know you want to focus on the sky, but at the time it's like, do people really believe Bob Lazar when he worked at Area 51? He said, focus on that. But this is the thing. Don't focus on all this. Focus on what Bob Lazar is doing. But he didn't want to say, give the answer. Is it true or not? He just said like this, have you watched the movie The Abyss? And said, yeah. And he just kind of smirked. That's a good movie. Which he put that in his brain that there could be UFO underwater bases. If you watch that movie Abyss, watch it tonight or watch it when you hear this episode. But I just feel like you want to believe. And we're all curious. Look what's going on. We've seen all these weird things. And even with Dr. Greer, who was on Vlad TV, you know, are there aliens? Said there is about 50 or 60 different types of species, but there's other ones that are used for decoy to push drugs, but also to kidnap people and use them for human trafficking. So who knows? But do I believe? I believe. I mean, if it's all going everywhere, we're focusing on that, but it's going on in the whole world. You know, Project Bluebeam. I just feel like who knows? I would strongly believe, like, if there is bases around, because you would hear stories in the Mariana Trenches. You would hear stories in the Solomon Islands. You would hear stories way up in the Pacific Northwest, Area 51, you know, over there in the Atlantic by the Bermuda Triangle. You just hear so many stories, but yeah, man, I really believe that there's aliens, and we don't know if they're good or not. You know, we watch all these movies, and I'll tell you again, you know, they're going to show you what they're going to do. Like when you hear stories about The Simpsons, but when you see all these UFO stories, these movies, it's all coming to light. You're like, huh. That's why I'm always over there in San Pedro, and sometimes, you know, with me, I just want to know. I really want to know, what if? I always been that type of person, guys and ladies, just a curious person. For some kind of reason, my mind just, you know, when I do podcasts, I got tired of interviewing people, but I just love doing research. I love learning about history. Even if it's good, bad, if it's conspiracies or not, or history, I just want to know. But I strongly believe, you know, there's thousands. Who knows? Maybe 5,000 or who knows? Maybe millions of UFO bases that we don't know about. But I strongly believe, like, there is, around the Catalina Island, there is a UFO base over there. Because you got to remember this, guys and ladies, there's a lot of military islands behind Catalina, and sometimes you can't go around there, it's off limits, so it's highly protected. But we don't know if these are UFOs or these are military top secret planes that they're trying out and see if it's good or not, because, you know, there's a lot of things that advanced stuff that the government's not going to talk about. But if you're hearing all these rumors and all this UFOs underwater, you know, flying up in the air, and the UFOs are coming back down, you know, go to the, you know, underwater to their base, who knows? I mean, if you saw that picture, you know, around Malibu Point Doom, that was, you know, a UFO base right next to a Navy base, and it's 2,500 feet down. The structure's how it looks like. That's not a mountain. That was like man-made built. So who knows? All right, our next topic. Have you heard, for all the Harbor Area people, George H. Peck Park? It's like right there by Western. There's a park right behind a plaza. There's a Sprouts Farmers Market. There's a Ralph's, Chipotle and all. It's a big park. Well, this park is really, really famous. I didn't know. I didn't know that there was a strike back in the 60s or 70s. And people got killed. People got shot, people got stabbed, but There was a, if you're a longshoreman, and I don't know if you heard of this, but there was a strike and people got into each other's face, and you know, a couple people got killed. And I didn't know that. Rumors are saying that Peck Park is an Indian burial ground. It's very dark. Very dark energy. I've been hearing stories of witchcraft. Again, in Indian burial grounds. It's haunted. People got killed. And this, check this one out. There was some say that there's devil worshiping back then. And there was portals that open up to other dimensions. And it's a big park. But there's a lot of creepy stuff that goes on in that park at night. Heard stories of people getting killed. Women being raped. There was a story. I was working at the time at Sprouts Farmers Market. I guess I'll just say it. And on July 24th, 2022, was last year, there was a car show. A lot of people came. And I left early. I got my stuff done. Well, when I got home, we couldn't go to work. They said, you know, Stephen, is there a way possible you can just come in instead of 12 a.m. or 10 p.m.? Is there a way possible you could just come in at 4 or 5 p.m.? It's like, okay, why? What's wrong? Well, the police department put their yellow tags around and barricade. There was an investigation. Two people got killed. Five people got injured from gunshots. I guess certain gangs were over there and, you know, started some shit, and two people got killed. So I was like, okay. So there's been a lot of weird things. I'll tell you this. When I was working at my grocery store, when I work overnight, there's a lot of weird things. So we had like three people working, and I told them, hey, I'm going to open the back room door. And there's a compactor. We just throw whatever stuff that I have to scan the shrink. Shrink is more like stuff that's damaged. We just scan it so we can get our money back. We get credit. So I'm pretty much in a way scanning all the broken damage, put it away so I can get credit. And there's a basketball court over there. And this is around about 3 o'clock in the morning. And there was three people in dark robes, like just standing right there. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And didn't know that around that time, you know, there's been a lot of sightings of people doing devil worshiping. Creep me out. For some kind of reason, you know, they will lock it up. Sometimes there'll be park rangers that just lock it up and go, but there'll be weird people over there. And there have been other, you know, news people that would come and like, hey, what happened? Oh, there was a woman who got raped. There was a person who got killed. There was a person who committed suicide. This person left a letter and he disappeared. There's a lot of weird things at Peck Park. And you're not going to believe this. This is like, hey, if you want to do your own research, do your own research. You know, at Peck Park, the park is so evil. And it's like, again, I'm assuming it's under that park that has an Indian burial ground under that park. There's been sightings of skinwalkers. And I want to say it one last time. There were sightings of skinwalkers. Let that sink in for a second. If you know, you know. So your homework for tonight, or when you're done with hearing this episode, look up what is a skinwalker. You know, there's sightings, you know, Native Americans, they would be like, we don't want to talk about it, stay away from it. Shape-shifting. There will be people that would be looking like humans, then they would shape-shift, then they would, you know, they would turn into a turn into an animal and all. It's creepy. And I'm not going to mention her name, but my coworker at the time, she was telling me, like, I think I saw a skinwalker. It's like, why? He looked different. And he's like, yeah, I can tell, because she told me, I lived in San Pedro. I know a lot of people who are on drugs, because a lot of people at night, The Walking Dead comes out at night, where people are just, they can't sleep, they're on drugs, they're weird things. But this certain person, he didn't look human. He looked kind of human, but not really. You know, and it was a shapeshift, you know, skinwalker. I get scared when you hear stories of those, because you don't know. You don't know these days. And I would hear stories like, you know, like, hey, I heard, like, there was some fires. There was, I guess, in a way, like 3 o'clock in the morning. It was super dark. I mean, dark, dude. And they would see fires, like, because I guess when you're walking, it's pretty steep. I guess when you're walking, they would see fires and people worshiping. So we don't know what type of stuff that they do there. But I'm kind of glad. I don't want to say I think. I know. I am kind of glad that I do not do overnights anymore, because it's the energy. And plus, if Peck Park is next to my job is haunted. I have seen apparitions. I have seen little girls peeking in the window of the meat department. When I was working grocery as an assistant grocery manager, I wanted to be transferred. That's how scared I was. There's a hallway in the back, and we have cages on top so people don't fall off. And we have this long hallway, and for some kind of reason, I had to go, you know, stock the water, you know, stock the chips, and all. We had it on that side. And from my peripheral, I saw up there of a little girl had her fingers in the cage looking down at me. And there was, I freaked out. There was another incident. Me and my coworker, I'm not going to mention his name because he's retired. there's two of us. It's like, okay, I'm going to focus on this side. You focus on this. I was like, cool. By the time we're getting the strategy to get the store ready for the next day, and it's only me and him, we heard the dairy door slam in the bulk department, and we heard a little girl screaming loud, creeped us out. And I was more like, what the fuck? There was another person who was a produce assistant manager. He was telling me, like, hey, have you heard of this podcast or music? So, yeah. When we're talking, both of us saw at the same time, you know, we're focusing like, hey, you need to rack up over there, because I guess in a way it was like, I think it was like Super Bowl weekend, and we're trying to rack up on everything, trying to get the store ready, like, you know, avocado, salsa, meat, chips, whatever. And in the meat department, the lights are shut off. And we saw a little girl peeking at the window, and we're like, what the fuck? That tripped us out. The scariest one, I thought I was in the bookkeeper's. There's an office where we order our stuff. That's like the scan room. And we had to look up something, and my employee who was helping me for 4 hours, I told him, I was like, hey, go check in the back to see if we have this. Like, all right. So I'm in the scan room, and I'm looking at certain things to see if we have this product or not, because at the time we had a lot of out of stocks. And I heard commotion in the office where they count the money, and we heard some talking in there. And I was like, and it's like, it's only me and him. So we're thinking, did a head cashier or a register person, they're here for, like, you know, usually they close at 10:30 or 11, they'd be gone. We thought Okay, maybe in a way, because the alarm was off. So it's like, okay, maybe there's someone here. We saw like two cars. And we heard some commotion. Carl was like, at the time, I'll say his name, I guess, you know. He's like, do you hear something? It's like, yeah, like there's like commotion in the cash room. And it's like, and we're thinking to ourselves, oh, someone must have been off on money. Like, okay, they're in there for a while. It's like, okay, something must have happened. It must have been busy, miscounted and all. And I wanted to make sure because I knocked on the door. I was like, excuse me, is someone in here? When they were talking, they shut the fuck up. And I was like, what? And I said, excuse me, is someone in here? And they didn't, it was silent. Me and my car were freaking out. So it was around about 3 o'clock in the morning. A lot of people start coming up at 3:50 a.m., about 4 a.m. And one of the bookkeepers, I told her, and I said, hey, was there anyone that left late last night or anything? It's like, what do you mean? I heard some commotion in the cash office, you know, when they count the money to get the registers ready for the next day. And she's like, I don't think so. Everyone left early. Say, can you go check the videotapes? And she's like, why? What happened? Around this time, there was people talking in the office. Like, what? There were some weird things. I heard some banging. I heard some people talking. We checked the cameras. There was no one there. The only thing that someone saw is like, that's kind of weird. Like, I guess in a couple of months later, like, let me see what Steven has to say. He was like, this is kind of weird. There was an orb passing through the walls. So there must have been something where apparition and all, because I heard stories that before it was Sprouts Farmers Market, it was something else. And we heard of a couple people that passed away. I don't know what it was back then, but I just heard some stories. That, and we just heard like, you know, dark entities, people on top just peeking, looking down on us. It was really creepy. But and also I was in my car. It was about 3:30 in the morning because I was on my keys, so I had to wait till another person had the keys so I could take my lunch, because it's like, well, I can't, I want to go to McDonald's, go get something to eat. And I saw a lady by Chipotle sitting down, and I was like, you know, she's crying. It's like, what the heck is that? And I heard this lady crying for her kids, and I was like, is that lady okay? It's like, I want to make sure because there's a lot of tweakers out there. So I drove my car to ask the lady, saying, ma'am, are you okay? When she had her head down, when she raised her head, she had no face, and she was levitating about 4 to 5 inches on the ground. I freaked out, and I told my manager, I was like, hey, take me off night crew, I don't want to do it no more. I said, okay, but can you do one more night? He says, yes, I'll do one more night, but I want to start working afternoons. I'm done with that. It's too much, too much. The next night, I had to close, and I took my lunch. There was a lady, I'll never forget this to this day. There was only two people, and I parked my car, and I was laying down eating my food, and it was in the winter times. I think it has to be around somewhere in November. It was cold at that time. I think it was like 2 years ago. No, take that back. 3 years ago. I was eating my burger. I was done. Let me take a nap. I got 25 minutes. I don't know what, but I felt this energy. Something told me just wake up because I had my alarm on. When I woke up, I looked in my window, my car. There was a hideous lady. It was, I don't know, it looked like an apparition. It looked like this lady was pale in the face. It was creepy. She was just staring at me like hardcore, and it took the energy out of me. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh my God, when I was like, I had to blink my eyes again, it was gone. So, again, guys and ladies, weird things at George H. Peck Park, Indian Burial Grounds. Again, do your research. This very touchy topic I want to touch on, the next one, is a serial killer, but he was a rapist. His name was Randy Kraft. His nickname was called the Southern California Strangler, the Scorecard Killer. He was also mentioned as the Freeway Killer. He had a thing of killing gay men and young boys. He had killed over 67 men and raped 3 young boys. This happened from 1972 to 1983. He was convicted in 1989. He was currently incarcerated on death row at San Quentin State Prison in Marin County, California. I would hear stories about this when my mom and my dad were living in Wilmington. We would lock our doors and everything. It's like, why? Well, if you think of like the Richard Ramirez and all, but this person was killing a lot of people. And he killed 3 people from Wilmington, California. He would, you know, kill another person in the freeway and dump their bodies. He was just, I don't know what he made. It was creepy. Those were scary times. And I'm just surprised when I tell people this story. It's like no one really knows about this killer. And you have to really remember back in the 80s and the 70s or even the early 90s. There is people getting killed. This is before social media. Now, there's no cameras, no DNA. People were getting killed, you know, left and right. People were getting raped. I saw kids were getting kidnapped, human trafficking. Hookers were getting killed, and their bodies will be dumped on right there by the bridge, like right there by Banny Park, that bridge you go over with the trains. But this person had a thing for killing gay men. I don't know. I looked into it, but he just, it was excitement. It was a turn on, but for him to kill young boys and rape them and then kill them, it was very disturbing. And you could tell like he did it because he wanted to do it. And he did that all around in Orange County, you know, in the Harbor area. He killed people up north, but a lot of people were really scared in the Harbor area. And you don't know these days. There was a lot of creeps out there. For some kind of reason, they would say Wilmington was an easy target for killing people. It was easy prey. And that's why a lot of the gangs, I heard stories of gangs working together and try to protect their neighborhoods because there was predators kidnapping kids and killing them. And there was, you know, killers, rapists, predators breaking into people's houses. So those were scary times back then. If you think of the Hillside Strangler, Richard Ramirez again, I mean, the list goes on and on. You had to be strapped up. And, you know, it's something where it's like now you got to be careful. You know, we're living in crazy times. But at those times, people got away with murder. They didn't give a fuck. So when my mom and my dad told me stories about that, I was like, let me look this up. Because you know how Mega Man is. I like to do my motherfucking research. And I was like, whoa, when you deep dive, I was like, dude, this guy's kind of like Jeffrey Dahmer, but he doesn't eat people, but he kills them and rapes them. Or he lures them in or meets them in bars. I heard some stories that he killed 2 Hispanic males. There used to be some Mexican bars in Wilmington, and there were some Mexican people who went to those bars that were gay. He would kind of like persuade them, let's go hang out, whatever. And that's the story goes with, you know, he start doing what he wanted to do, just get a turn on by just killing them. So again, guys and ladies, you know, just got to be careful because sometimes if I were you, just have a gun. You know, pepper spray, bad, but, you know, the ladies at that time were walking alone. It was just, you never know. There's creeps out there. And now with these new laws and everything, it makes it more easier to get away with shit now because of, you know, the laws and everything. Yeah, you can do this, you can do that. It's like, oh, so when you have pedophiles, you have predators, you have serial killers, you know, and they know how to maneuver with the new social media and also of, you know, with the laws and all that, it's kind of more lenient. They can kind of get away with murder now, but they can kind of say, well, I identify myself as a woman, you know, but you're actually a man. It's like, in a way, it's like, okay, it wasn't him. But remember that name, everyone. Randy Kraft, the serial rapist killer. My next subject, my God, this is a pretty deep one, man. This is pretty deep. Chester Pennington, the lead singer from Linkin Park. On July 20th, 2017, at the Palo Verde Estates, Chester Pennington hanged himself. People say he was dealing with depression, substance abuse, but a lot of speculations and conspiracies are saying that he couldn't hang himself. Someone did it for him. Because if you think about it, he was doing some news and talking about certain things that he shouldn't be talking about, which we are dealing with right now because of all this child trafficking, human trafficking. There were stories that he wanted to leave Linkin Park because he wanted to expose the human trafficking, what was going on in Hollywood. And the weird thing that happened, you hear stories about Chester Pennington from Linkin Park, the lead singer from Soundgarden, Paul Walker, and the list goes on and on. But the thing is, you know, it's just really sad. Like, he just wanted to be done with music and he cared about life. He cared about his kids and he just wanted his voice to be heard. But when you speak against human trafficking or child trafficking, you're out. You're done. And my opinion, I think someone killed him. There's a lot of weird stories you hear of in the Palo Verde Estates of certain people working in human trafficking. And that's all I'm going to say with this one. But it's really sad. You know, he was a very special person. He played a lot of good music and he blew up. You know, he blew up and just sucks. I guess in a way, if you try to speak out the truth or you're a whistleblower, you're pretty much the way you're going to be the first ones to go. You're going to be the first ones to go. Rest in peace, Chester Pennington. But you know what? It's kind of scary. You know, like, we're just there to protect our families. We're just there to protect our loved ones and everything. But we really live in an evil world. And it's going to get worse. Just by talking about it, just like my hand shakes a little bit. Because it was a cool person. I mean, I didn't even know that a lot of celebrities live up there, you know. But rest in peace to Chester Pennington from Linkin Park. Much love. My next topic is a very serious topic. I watched this movie. The person who played Hawkeye The Avengers, you know, he did this movie called Kill the Messenger. And I think a lot of people don't know this, you know, the celebrity actor who played Hawkeye, you know, he lived in Modesto. He went to, I think it was Downey or was it Byer High School, but he got big and he took on this low budget role called Kill the Messenger of the story of Gary Webb, who was a reporter from the San Jose Mercury and exposed, you know, the CIA pushing the drugs to certain areas. We don't know, maybe over the United States, but over here in South Central, because the CIA was pushing the drugs to certain areas to fund the money so they can get the money from pushing the drugs out to buy guns to send it to the guerrilla armies who were in Nicaragua fighting the communists. And the book, you can look it up, it's called A Dark Alliance. And this, they were doing this stuff back from 1979 to 1990. And, excuse me. And this was the whole contraband, the Iran-Contra affairs back in 1985, 87. It was deep back then, super deep. And he exposed it. And he was a whistleblower that, you know, when you think of the times of Freeway Ricky, when you watch the movie Kill the Messenger, pushing the drugs. When I was living in Wilmington, and I think Martin Moreno was talking about it, you know, it was very, very drug infested in Ghost Town. When I was little, and I'm going to keep it very 100. This is a serious thing. I don't fuck around. I don't make shit up. This is a very serious thing. My dad would tell me, my mom, you're forbidden to go over there. I said, why? Because that's a black neighborhood. There's a lot of Samoans over there. It's like, okay, yeah. You know, but it's crazy. You don't want to go over there. And I heard a lot of the Hispanics had to move out. It was drug infested. Freeway Ricky was always be there. Well, I didn't know when I saw this with my own eyes. We went to go past because my dad had to go pick up some money. There was a car and pulled my dad and me over. And I was little at the time. And a white guy with some glasses looked very different. He says to my dad, what are you doing over here? So I got to go pick up my money from my friend's house. Go back. You're not wanted over here. Well, came to find out that was a CIA agent telling my dad that. And I think my dad never talks about that. Then when I got older, I realized the stuff that was going on. And it really traumatized me, guys, because I didn't want to talk about it. It was very forbidden. And you would hear stories that, you know, they were pushing the drugs on O Street. It was right there on Blinn and PCH. And I didn't know at the time that the gangs were working with the CIA and Freeway Ricky at the time. What really hurts my heart is that why the CIA did what they had to do, and it killed a lot of families. A lot of people died. Loved ones died. Broken homes and everything. People would sell their kids for drugs. Anything. And that's why, in a way, they had to, once it was done because, you know, Gary Webb exposed what was going on. And if it wasn't for Gary Webb, we wouldn't know these things. And the sad thing about it is, guys, he got a lot of shit. When you watch the movie Kill the Messenger, just by talking about this, it's very sensitive. It gets very emotional, because if you guys and ladies were in my shoes at that time, it was really deep. I had families that were on drugs and they died. Sorry, just a little emotional. Sorry, guys. And today, when I posted a picture of Gary Webb, he was the man of the people. And he exposed what the CIA was doing. And they made his life a living hell. And when I heard that Gary Webb committed suicide, that would have been him, because when you watch the movie, he was getting harassed. The government, Big Brother, the deep state, they would take out the whistleblowers first for exposing what the government's doing to us, because we're expendable. They don't give a fuck about us. The weird thing about it is when Gary Webb said, like, you know, Gary Webb committed suicide, he had two bullets in his head. It hurts when I hear that. And he lost his credibility. No one believed him, because no one wanted to speak up, because people were scared to get killed and whack, because it was deep. It was drug infested, and they were killing a lot of the black families, a lot of Hispanic families, South Central, Harbor area and all. Sometimes when I do go to Wilmington a lot, I like to go to those areas in Ghost Town. I like to remember things, look at things. Everything's all quiet and change. But if the CIA wasn't pushing their drugs because of their little wars they had in Latin America and Nicaragua and shit, who knows how our city of Wilmington, or even anywhere in the Harbor area, or maybe even over the United States, it would be different. But it's a scar. But also, it gives the city a bad rep. But, you know, Gary Webb, you know, he was the man. He exposed it. He had balls. And just by thinking about this, you know, I just thought about it right now. When people tell me, you know, be careful, Mega Man. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you post. You know what? At least in a way, I have fucking balls for putting my life on the line. Even though I have a family, but I feel in my heart, people need to know. People need to know, not only in my community, not only with our people, but also the people around the world need to know. It's sad that for me being Hispanic, and the thing that I notice and I look at is on social media, you know, people can mock me, people can talk shit about me, people can laugh, I don't believe you. It's really sad that, you know, you can mock and all that, but down the road, you're going to be like, fuck, that guy was pushing out truth. And that's what I'm doing. I'm pushing out the truth that no one wants to talk about. Everyone's all scared to be censored. Everyone's scared to be canceled. Everyone's scared to be silent. Well, if you guys and ladies go hard on the DMs, on the comments, keep that same energy when you're out there in public. Say what you really feel. If not, this is what's going to happen. This is what they're going to do. The government's going to fuck us and fuck us and fuck us. They don't care about us. But we have to expose and push it out. Enough's enough. Enough is enough. All right, our next topic. Oh, this is a pretty deep one. Christopher Jordan Doner. And everyone called him the rogue cop. Now, you probably heard of this story. And this person went on a shooting spree, killed four people. But people want to know why. Christopher Doner, he was a military lieutenant. He was an up-and-coming cop who cared about the people. Won a lot of awards. But how this situation started. Where do I begin? Christopher Doner was fired from his job because he witnessed certain police brutality. And this happened when he was with the Harbor Division right there by the 110 freeway. And this happened 10 years ago. And the reason why, because he was going to let the high up know what was really going on, because there was corruption. You know there's corruption in the police and the sheriff's department. We don't know how many sheriff and police gangs they are, but he had to say what he had to say. And what happened is, we don't know how many officers in his division were corrupted. And they use a smear campaign. They fired him. Then he wrote a manifesto online, said what he was going to do. And there was a lot of corruption. And the main person was Randy Kwan. He was a captain, and two others. Well, Christopher Doner went on a shooting spree, killed the captain, who was corrupt captain, Randy Kwan's daughter and her husband, and another officer and a police detective. And this is the thing where, if you guys and ladies had situation with cops, and there's good cops and there's bad cops and there's corrupt cops and there's gang cops. And I see all on the news, I see it on people's social medias, but he had it. Enough was enough, and they ruined his image, ruined his reputation, and went on a shooting spree. He went rogue. And, you know, he started going to those certain people who, you know, narked on him, try to, smear his name, and went on a shooting spree. And, pretty much in a way, on February 12th, 2013, the officers, they had a SWAT team, they found him, and he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head during a standoff with the cops, in a cabin in San Pedro Mountains. This is the thing, guys. Everyone wants to know, Mega Man, why are you sticking up for him? He killed four people. But the thing is, he was a good person. But there's a lot of bad apples. There's a lot of corruption. And now we're living in the social media that you see it. You videotape it, everyone. Anything that you do, because you never know. Back in the day, in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, when you heard, the Rodney Kings, people getting beat up, everything, getting killed, cracking their head, dumping their bodies. I mean, it was some crazy fucking times. But now with social media, you have to record everything, because it's their word against yours. But now with social media, and now because, you're going to do live, it's going to go viral, it's going to spread. So a lot of sheriffs and police officers, they can't do what they got to do. They have to really be chill. But at the same time, they're going to find out where you live. They're going to find out who you are. You're smearing the division or the city's name. And the thing is, as well, there's a lot of cops that are corrupted, getting paid a lot, and they're not doing shit. There is people that I know that did homework, say, hey, you are working for us, us taxpayers, but you only solve about 2 to maybe 5% of crimes and solve certain things. All they do is harass. So it's really bad. It's really fucking bad. And you have to clean it up. That's why, at the time with the whole Black Lives Matter and the situation was going on with our country, you know, defund the cops, you know, enough was enough. And look what's going on now. It's pretty bad. You know, people are scared to be a cop. You know, people are embarrassed to be a cop because, you know, sometimes are they going to be good? Are they not? Are they going to be tough? But man, dude, it's just, when you hear about this in the Harbor Division, and he was a police officer, you know, working at that time, you know, in the Harbor Division, you know, it's, there was corruption. I heard stories about, but man, it's just, it's a fucked up story, man. It's like, you know, when you think about it, man, who knows who's going to be the next rogue cop? It's be like, yo, I see some shit. But if your friends who are working for the police department or for the sheriff's department, they're going to tell you, hey, man, shut the fuck up and just do your job. But I guess in a way now it's like, you know, people are worried about the repercussions. People are worried about getting fired. People are worried about, like, shit, is he a whistleblower? You know, people are worried about, like, is this motherfucker going to go to internal affairs? You know, why did he get fired? It sucked. It really sucked, man. It sucks how it happened, but what can you do? I mean, there's corruption everywhere, but now with social media, it's not like it used to be, but you still have to record. Go on your Instagram live. Let it be known before you, and also, you got to know your rights. Everything. When I see on YouTube of people just going after cops, like, huh? What are you doing? Like, everything. They're just recording everything. It's live. It's spread. Because now, it's not just one witness. It's millions of witness. And it's going to go viral. That's why when I follow certain social media platforms, when they go against the cops or this, you have to record everything. But for this situation, it sucks, man. It's like, to me, it's like another story of another scandal in the police department or the sheriff's department. And it makes it look really bad. But man, dude, it's just by doing this episode, I didn't know that there was so much stuff to talk about for this conspiracy episode. But this one, fuck, man, I remember, man, I was watching on the news and I was like, damn, this is fucked up. But when you really, again, guys and ladies, when you start researching all this, it's crazy. You know, it's crazy when you read the stuff and you start going down these rabbit holes, then you start looking up people's names. When you start looking up certain people's names, it leads, this person was corrupted in this. This person did this. This person did that. It's bad. And that's what I always do. I always want to research. And sometimes in a way, guys and ladies, it's very overwhelming. You know, this episode is very overwhelming for me. Because you don't know how these stories are going to unfold. But at the same time, sometimes, once in a while, if you talk about a story, then you heard about this story, then you heard about that, you're trying to connect, you know, and fit the puzzle pieces. And it's going to lead you to the point, boy, I did not want to know about that, because the next and the last topic is a pretty deep one. And let's just say I got a lot of threats. Let's just say people tell me, don't talk about it. You know, like, be careful, Mega Man and stuff. But this is the thing. You have to talk about it. You can't hide from it. This is the thing. People, you need to speak up. Because there is a certain country, which I will say the name of this country in the end of this episode. This country did so much shady stuff. I wish I could do a full episode about this country, but I can't. Because pretty much in a way, this country rules the whole world. Everything by an iron fist. And this is a little country. So the last topic I want to talk about is this certain country stole the nuclear secrets from the United States. And people are going to tell me, so what does this country have to do with Wilmington, California? Let's get into it. This country, is, let's just say it like this. This country is the alpha, and United States is the beta male cuck. Because it's like, I'll say it for an easy one, easy example for the guys. You always want to be with a girl like, oh, I'm going to change her. I can fix her. But this person doesn't want to be fixed, doesn't want to be changed. But every time this girl of yours fucks up, you always take this, your girl back. Always. Oh, it's okay. You know, she fucked up. I'll take her back. It's almost like you're being a sip. Like, it's almost like, in a way, like you're putting her on a pedestal. That's how I feel about the United States. Because the United States is a sip. It's a cuck. Male. Because they have to abide by their rules. And they did a lot of shady stuff, this country. And they stole nuclear secrets. And the reason why is that they needed a nuclear bomb because all the Arab nations were going to invade. When the Six-Day War, when you know, with Egypt, with Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, and all that, they stole the secrets. They stole about 200 to 600 pounds of uranium that was stole in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it's called Numeric. And it was called Apollo Affairs back in the early 60s and 70s. But they couldn't get it. And the reason why, at that time, who was president? John F. Kennedy. This country had to do what they had to do with the help from another agency, the CIA. And this is where military-industrial complex started. But it couldn't be detected. And this is where this country had a lot of business partners, owned a lot of areas. Well, FBI was watching certain people. It's like, how are we going to steal this? There was a secret agent. Stole the secrets. And they had to be undetected because they needed that bomb really bad, because it was going to be almost like World War III in the Middle East. And when they sold the nuclear secrets, they pretty much, in a way, they had to hide it. And there are certain businesses that this country owned, certain warehouses, maybe certain ports at the time. Don't quote me, but this is the rumor. And they were hidden in the city of Wilmington, California, because it was going to be shipped off to Mexico, to Argentina, you know, to South America. Then after that, there's going to take the long journey going all the way to the Middle East, to the Philistines. And they needed that bomb. And at the same time, when they sold the secrets at that, in those times, in the 60s and 70s, they did some also shady stuff with the help of the CIA. They killed the two brothers, John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. I think John F. Kennedy and his brother, I think Bobby Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy. And they needed it. And there were stories that they were about to have 18 missions to start bombing certain Arab countries. And they always been shady like this. I wish I could say more, but I can't. But this country did what they had to do. And they don't give a fuck about us. And this is one of the reasons why I will get censored. This is one of the reasons why they hide under United States skirts. This is one of the reasons why you can't speak how you want to speak, because people might think like, oh, you're this, you're that, you're anti-Semitic. No, I'm more neutral. I've never been like that. But the thing is, people don't want to talk about it, but they control the world. And the country that stole the nuclear secrets and took out the Kennedys was Israel. Yeah. let that sink in. It was Israel. Well, I'm going to stop right there because it's getting a little bit deep. But I just want to let you guys and ladies know. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Conspiracy Talks with Mega Man. You know, talking about all these crazy stories that happened in the Harbor area. But again, let that sink in on that last story. But you can do your own research. And I want to give credit when credit's due is Ryan Dawson. He exposed all this stuff. And you can find him on Rumbled. And you can find the stories on the Fresh and Fit, where Fresh and Fit invited Ryan Dawson. And they did four parts of the 9/11 that you're going to find out who really bombed 9/11. And I just said that name as well. But again, guys and ladies, you can do your own research. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow me at the Long Beach Social Experiment. Follow me on Twitter. More episodes to come. But I hope you guys and ladies love this episode and more episodes to come. But till next time, Mega Man's out.